Chayisar, we're dealing with Perek of Dalet Pasagal of Abram Zatim Boba Yom Vashem Brachas Abram Lakol Hashem, was old, coming of age, and God blessed Abraham with everything. So what does the word everything mean? I will tell you, there are about 25 answers to this question mentioned by the Medrash, what everything means. They range from the obvious, which is he gave him everything you could possibly get in this world, to the least obvious, which is a stone that hung around his neck that allowed people to be healed just by looking at that stone. There are unbelievable answers that are given all over the place in the Gemara Bava Basra Tazayin as well as the Medrash Rabbah, but we're going to concentrate on one answer that seems to be given that really is comprised of three different answers. According to the Gemara Bava Basra, this is also mentioned with different Mandiyamrim in the Medrash. Reb Meir says the bracha was he did not have a daughter. Okay, and before we all bash women, which is obviously going to be the next part of this, right? We have to figure out why that's so. Reb Yehuda argues and says he definitely did have a daughter, and that was the bakol, that he had everything in the world, including a daughter. Acherim, which is interesting, because usually Acherim is a reference to Reb Meir. The Gemara Horius, Yud Gimel and Beis Yud Dalem and Aleph says, whenever you see the word Acherim in Shas, it refers to Reb Meir, but here, obviously, it seems to be arguing, says her name was Bakol. There was a daughter, her name was Bakol.
Reb Meir arguing himself?
And that's the problem. That's a very, very strange line of reading. I'm sorry?
Is this a student of Acherim?
That's a great call. No, really, it's because Acherim is comprised of the name Meir, with a ches in it. But however, nonetheless, it could be because he's a student of Acher.
Wasn't there a reason given that he was punished, so they changed him to Acherim?
Well, that's the first, yeah, but why the name Acherim? Yesh Omrim, Rabbi Nassim became the Yesh Omrim. Whenever you see Yesh Omrim in all of Shas, that's Rabbi Nassim. Acherim became Reb Meir. Why was he specifically called Acherim? Because of Meir with a ches, and then, or it's because of Acher. He has Acher source. The Ramban says, he explains, here's the machlokas. It would have been a bad thing for him to have had a girl. He wouldn't have wanted to marry her off to anyone. Everybody that he could marry her off to would be B'nai Kanaan. That would be disgusting to him. I wrote the word anathema because I was thinking of that word at the time. To have a child from Sarah who's going to be involved with those types of people. So therefore, if he did have a daughter, right? He didn't have a daughter, so he didn't have to marry it off. Love him.
But he's the only one?
We don't know how old those people were. Maybe they were older, maybe they were, but I don't know. You know, obviously it wasn't there. Well, if he did have a daughter, it shows that Hashem made sure that he had everything in the world, even a daughter, meaning anything that a person could ask for. Even if you would say, well, we don't see that he had a daughter. No, God gave him everything. He even gave him things that are not written outright in the Torah, even a daughter.
If he had a daughter, that the spouse of Abram and Sarah, I'm sure that he would have made his dibbutz somewhere in the world.
Well, that's true, but nonetheless, the same way that Yaakov didn't want to marry Dinah off to Esav, he wouldn't want to marry Bakal off to whoever it was. That would be the idea behind it. Anyway, regardless, the Ben Ishchai says, this is not a machlokes metzias. Binyamin, this is just for you. Everyone agrees that he never had a daughter. The only kasha is, does Yishmael's daughter count as his own? It's the question of his granddaughter. Do his granddaughters count for you? And the halacha is, by Pur Ravu, la halacha we paskin, you got to have a son and a daughter. Okay, that's that, right? But nonetheless, there is an opinion that says, right, that if you have a granddaughter, it's possible that it'll count for you. So therefore, the kasha was he ever Mekayim Puravu through Yishmael's daughter? That's that. By the way, notice whether or not you're Mekayim it through your son's daughter. Through your daughter's daughter, if your daughter passes away, your daughter's daughter seems to be L'kuli Alma that does work. That is another story for another time. The Marsha says to Machlokas how important it is to have woman in the world in the first place. Reb Meir held that having woman in the world is only B'dievet. It's only B'dievet. It never should have been. Adam Marisha was the only person ever created, and that should have been it. So it was a bracha, right? It was a bracha that he didn't need an Akeva to be born. His world would have been perfect without having to give birth to another girl.
Wasn't he like? It wasn't like a male or a female. He was, according to that meter, that he was just one person. He was one person.
Other reasons together is one. I know. I hear you. Reb Meir doesn't hold. You know, however he holds it, he holds that it was just a male, not that. Reb Yehuda says that perfection cannot happen until someone gets married, and therefore to have a girl is the greatest secret in the world. There's nothing greater than that. So if you go home and you want to tell your wife or your mother or something like this, the first thing you say is, "Don't worry. There's always Reb Yehuda." Yehuda is okay. And there you have it. The Acherim agree with Reb Yehuda that her name shows how she can fix up the whole world. The word of Bakol is she was able to do everything in the world, that everything was able to be done through her. Okay, so that's that, says the Marsha. The truth is, there's no reason to go into her name, says the Ramban. This is not about her name, the name of the daughter. The bracha that Avraham Avinu got from Hashem was not just a name. This is not it. It's a very deep subject. He calls it one of the secrets of the Torah. And to be honest with you, this is a very strange Ramban. A Ramban where he goes into a secret, one of the Sodas HaTorah, and he goes on in length about it. At times you'll see the Ramban says that Sodas HaTorah, and he'll say like a line or two. Here he has three paragraphs all about this Indian. It's over there. There is a Midah that Hashem has that is called Bakol, and it's the foundation of everything. In Perek Mandalat Yeshayah says, Anokhi Hashem Osekol. I am Hashem, I do everything. That Kol is this Midah. It's where all goodness, all Shep of the world comes from, and it's called Bas because it's a Midah. It comes from something, the same way a daughter comes from something, and refers to Bezin Shomaila that allows it to be. Avinu acted with Chesed, right? And therefore, because he acted with Chesed, it was as if he was able to project the Shepa that he deserved over to the rest of the world. He was able to give out to everyone. He owned everything and gave to everyone. He brings a couple proofs to what he's saying. It's amazing. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says about his Rebbe, the Ramban. The Rabbeinu Bachaya is the guy to go to about anything in the Ramban. Rabbeinu Bachaya says, my Rebbe was Megala Sod. He revealed secrets by saying such things. And he himself hides what he apparently knows about it. The Yalkut Reuveni has quite a bit over here. He quotes the Tzioni over here, a sefer called the Tzioni. The Yalkut Reuveni goes on and on about it, but I don't quite understand what the Yalkut Reuveni was saying, so that's why I'm not going to quote it. The Kedushas Levi does go into it a little bit. He says that there is something called a bas kol. We all know that, right? Not a ben kol and not a kol. But a bas kol is where Hashem is speaking, so to speak, but it comes as an echo to us, and something comes from that kol to let us know what's going on. A person has to concentrate to be able to understand what a Kedush Baruch Hu was trying to tell him. Everybody will translate that bas kol differently. They'll act accordingly according to how they understand it. The bas, the word bas, is a mida al-tayim bas yochil. In English, I believe it is an English term, a bath. B-A-T-H is a type of size that is used in medieval England. It's called a bath. It's a certain amount. And that's where the word bas also comes from. Alpayim bas yochil. It fits the area, the huge pool that Shlomo HaMelech made in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash was able to hold 2,000 bath of water. That's what it's able to do. And that's the amount of Shefa that comes through. And this is the measure of Avram, Inu, etc. And Avram was able to do this because Avram was filled with love, Chesed, overflowing Shefa that allows it to spread out to other people, as opposed to Yitzchak, who is Yira, who is Mitzamsem, holds everything in, and had no ability to spread out any further. Avram, who could leave Eretz Yisrael and was able to expand his horizons elsewhere, Yitzchak has to stay in. That's the difference between them. To really understand that, that's Meduyuk in the Gemara. We mentioned the Reb Meir is Acherim. So he had a problem. How could Acherim argue in Reb Meir? Reb Meir said, there is no daughter. And then Acherim said he had a daughter in his bakel. Says the Ben Ishchai, again, it's arguing on whether Avram Binu had a daughter or not. That's Reb Meir Reb Yehuda. But everyone agrees that Bas, the daughter that he had, there was a Mida that he had of Bakol. So that's the idea. There was something that he had that was something a little bit more esoteric that did not deal with the daughter, and that's that. Okay. Period. That is the end of the more not referring to a daughter type of thing. In other words, it's a girl, but it's not a girl at the same time. Those are the Pirushim from the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Bachaya, the Yalkut Reuveni, the Kedushas Levi, that Ben Ishchai, right? That's the end of how they understand it in a different term. I will tell you, there is an Abir Yaakov of here, Yaakov Abuchatzer, that explains this. I have no idea what he said. You need a Sephardi to be able to really go through that. I have no clue. I don't understand it. And again, the Yalkut Reuveni goes through, but that's that when it comes to that. Now let's go into the daughter part. Halachically, this does matter whether Avram Avinu had a daughter or not. The Cheshek Shlomo brings down, there is an Afkamina. The halacha is, if you're married for 10 years without children, Chas V'Shalom, in Eretz Yisrael, not outside of Eretz Yisrael, but in Eretz Yisrael, you are required to marry another wife. You are required to marry another one. Now, I wrote, you're allowed. It's a bit of a kasha also, whether it's permitted or forced to marry another wife. Avram Avinu and Sarah were together from the age of 75 in Eretz Yisrael. At 85, he married Hagar. That was the idea of what it was supposed to be. It's around 85 when he ended up marrying Hagar.
Yeah, but his divorce is first one.
That's a big kasha. That's a big kasha in of itself. You do not have to divorce. Because especially at the time of the marriage, you have two wives.
There's no polygamy.
Yeah, you'd have to. Listen, we don't hold world as it is nowadays. People don't divorce their wives after 10 years if they don't have children. You don't see this. This doesn't happen. Nonetheless, it is a halakha that is brought down in Gemara and Yevamos, right? So it is there, but halakhically, I have not seen it happen. Chazon Ish lived for a very long time. He wasn't able to have children. Simcha Wasserman lived for a very long time, did not have children. You see people that were, whether they were in Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael, they don't seem to do this. They don't seem to do this. So either way, Kashi said, what do you can? I can give you rayas that people
can.
Rabbeinu Gershom's over anyway, so it's not. Yeah.
Well, nobody's greater than this generation.
No.
This would precede him.
This would precede him. This is the halakha over here. So here we go. The poskim ask, are you forced to remarry if you only had a boy, but you didn't have a boy and a girl? So let's say you had a wife, you had one child, but you couldn't have another child with that wife, and you want to be Mekayim Pur Ravu. So after 10 years in Eretz Yisrael, can you divorce that wife? Should you remarry someone else? If we're learning from Avraham Avinu, we do. We learn the 10 years from Avraham Avinu. If we do, then the kasha is, if he never had a girl, then how come he didn't marry another woman at the age of 95? At the age of 85, he had one child, Yishmael. If he didn't have another child, if he did not have a girl, then at 95, he should have married somebody else in order to have a girl.
But if this is a girl, wouldn't it be that she was born after Yitzhak, which would have been out much later?
No, that's a bit of a machlokas. We're going to see when the girl was born. But
it says that one is a king. We're talking about seemingly progressing, and then right after he marries off Yitzhak. So
good call. It could be that there's still going to be there. We're going to see a lot about this, but either way, regardless. So if he didn't have a daughter, then you see, if he never had a daughter, then you see you don't have to get remarried if you've been together for 10 years, as long as you have a child. You don't have to have both, you just have to have one child, and that's enough. You don't get remarried, and that's that. If he did have a daughter, then there's no proof from over here. There's no proof for anything. That's the idea that Chishuk Shlomo wants to learn over here. Now, it happens to be, Ibn Ezra asked on the whole thing altogether. He says, wait a second. If there's a daughter, then it shouldn't be Bakol, it should be Bibakol. Vashem Berachas Avram, Bibakol, with Bakol. But then he says, you know what, the Torah often skips that letter. It skips the extra bays. Says to Ibn Ezra, it's not that big of a deal. And the Avi Ezri gives three proofs that that's the normal thing over there. Yalkut Teimani says that her real name was Kol. So Vashem Berachas Avram, Bakol is with the daughter named Kol. So her name was not Bakol, her name was Kol. That was the actual name that's brought down over here. That he had a daughter.
The daughter, yeah. He named her Kol.
Rega. First we have to know, the Imre Bina says, why would we need to know this now, right before he married off his son? So he answers, because Alaka is, and crazy little Alaka, right? If you and your son both need to get married, Chas Shalom, the person's wife passes away, it's you and your son that need to get married, right? And you don't know. If you haven't yet been Mekayim Pur Ravu because you still need a child, then you have to get married first. If not, then Yitzchak comes first. So Avram married off his son before he found himself a new wife, right? He married himself to Keturah only after Yitzchak ended up marrying, after Yitzchak married Rivka. So that means he must have already been Mekayim the mitzvah Pur Ravu. How? Because he had a daughter. So that's what we're saying. Vashem Berachas Avram Bakol. Avram, by the way, had a daughter. Avram had a daughter. And therefore, he went to go find a wife for Yitzchak. He was okay. But Yitzchak was not. Yitzchak needed somebody, and that's the reason why. Revolting is another answer. Avram is chesed. Yitzchak is Geburah. Beis Hillel is chesed. Beis Shammai is Geburah. You know what the machlokas is? The famous machlokas? What are you Mekayim Pur Ravu? If you have a son and a daughter, says Beis Hillel. What does Beis Shammai say?
Two
sons. So Avram held. He was Mekayim Pur Ravu already. Well, Avram held that he what? It's the opposite. Avram held that Yitzchak had to get married first. Because Yitzchak was Beis Shammai. And Beis Shammai holds that as soon as you have two sons, you're Mekayim Pur Ravu. So he said, Lefi Yitzchak, right? He didn't want to go by himself. So Lefi Yitzchak, I had two sons already. So he has to get married first. Yitzchak said, Lefi Avram. Avram holds like Beis Hillel. So therefore he needs to have a son and a daughter, and he hasn't yet. So Yitzchak at the same time went to go get Hagar to go bring her back. Says Revolson at the same time they went to go find wives for each other, and that ends up being. Now you get into the crazy questions.
Wait, but isn't Hagar in Mitzrayim?
Hagar was in, yeah, I don't know if it was Mitzrayim. No, Be'er L'Kairoi. That's where he went. He went to find Be'er L'Kairoi.
Got her for Yishmael from...
Got her from Mitzrayim. As a side note, by the way, he divorced that daughter. That girl that he married, originally Yishmael married a girl by the name of Fatima from Egypt. He divorced her because she was a very, what's it called? I guess she was a very evil person or whatever it was, and ended up marrying another girl. I forgot her name.
She's bad at Yishmael, though.
or something, whatever it is. No, and what? Exactly, when Avram got involved, and that's when Yishmael came back at that point. Now, if he did have a daughter, there's a Tosfos and Bubba Basra cook memal that asks, so why not marry her after Yitzchak? Okay, so granted, you had a daughter, right? So marry her off to Yitzchak.
Yeah, I mean, Avraham married his sister.
Married his brother's daughter.
Rachel would have been, though, from Hagar, not from...
Oh, so there's a bunch of answers. So he says two answers. Okay, he gives two answers altogether. So this is only according to the opinion that says that B'nai Noach are able to marry their sisters. There is an opinion that way in Sanhedrin and Luchas. You can marry your sister. A non-Jew can marry their sisters. So why not marry Yitzchak off to his sister? He gives two answers. Number one, maybe she was too young. She might have been too young. He didn't want to marry him off to such a young girl. Now that's really strange.
Too old.
That's really strange because according to, I mean, the way we understand it, Rivka may have been 3. So you can't get much younger than that. With Bakal younger than that amount, and it can't even be. If Bakal came from Sarah, then she had to be over 3. Sarah died 3 years earlier. Right? This is when Yitzchak is 40 years old. Sarah died when he was 37, right after the Akedah. So if that happened, then we're off by 3 years. She couldn't have been under 3. She must have been older than Rivka. So that's a weird answer. So the parties Yosef says, okay, he wanted a situation where you could, in theory, do Miun, and because he was alive, she wouldn't be able to do Miun. That's a weird answer to the parties Yosef. But nonetheless, it does say it, and that's why he wanted Rivka, whose father was going to die, and therefore she had the ability to do Miun. Regardless, there's another answer. That Talioros brings this down and says that we're not asking now. Now, the reason why Rivka was chosen is because there was a nevuah that went to Avram at the end of the Akedah that said, a daughter was born and her name is Rivka. And that was at the end of Parshas Vayera. Once that was said, he knew, okay, Rivka has to marry Yitzchak. That was not a question whatsoever. He knew that Rivka was going to marry Yitzchak. The question was, why not marry him off to Bakal beforehand? And Tosfos is suggesting, perhaps she was too younger.
It wasn't nevuah, wasn't it? It said that he was, no, they told him.
According to Rashi, he knew that this was the girl. That's why he sent Eliezer specifically to Paddan Aram to look for it. That's that. But, however, she does have Bechira. So she could mess up and she could not deserve Yitzchak. That's why Eliezer was sent in that way. The Chidov answers both answers together. The second answer of Tosfos is she came from Hagar and not from Sarimenu. And because of that, he didn't want to marry Yitzchak off to a girl who came from Hagar. That he didn't want whatsoever. He wasn't going for the son.
Yeah, but I mean, otherwise he's a full sister. That's really weird.
I know, it is really weird, right? You should know, by the way, as a side note, the Yavetz, Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, who is number 5 on this list, says, Chas v'shalom, that the question could even be asked. I mean, they're Jews. They had a bris mila. There's no question you're usher to marry your
sister.
Wait,
once Avram had a bris mila, why was he allowed to marry to Sarah?
Well, stay married to Sarah. What, you can marry your niece.
She's a sister, though, according to she's a half-sister.
No, you can marry your niece. You're allowed to marry your niece. There's a status of a sister. Status, basahu. Basabihu, yeah, but that's meaning it's Haran's daughter.
Yeah. I think the shot though in the pasuk is meaning.
Well, it's Haran's daughter. We already know. Avi Milka Badi Yiska. Right? It's Haran. It says right there.
And Yiska is Sarah?
Sarah Bas Haran. Avi Milka Badi Yiska. That's what it says. So we know that it's Haran's kid. That's not a question. There's no measures that says that it was whatever, but that's the idea. Okay, there's a couple others. The Chidah ends up answering over here. He has an answer. Rechaim Paltiel says that Yitzchak was a Bechor. This is a big Kiddush, by the way. Let's go into this for a second. We all know that a Kohen cannot marry a Gioris. We know that a Kohen cannot marry a divorced woman. Okay? Bechors originally had the status of a Kohen. The firstborn had the status of a Kohen originally. Could the firstborn marry a divorced woman? Could the firstborn marry a Gioris? I always thought, yeah, that the Kohen had the specific status that he wasn't allowed to marry those people, but a Bechor, even though he's serving the Beis HaMikdash, was allowed to marry whoever he wanted.
Absolutely no, because the Bechor had the status of a Kohen.
He had the status of a Kohen, but he didn't necessarily have those lavin. I don't know if the lavin ever applied to
him. Almost none of these existed. They knew about that.
Though. No. But I don't know if it ever applied to a Bechor or ever was meant to apply to a Bechor. Just remember, there was always going to be a Kohen, even before the Bechors lost their status. There was always going to be the concept, right? Aaron was already chosen as a Kohen before the status of the Bechors. There was always going to be a Kohen and a Bechor, and the Bechor was going to do something. Whether the Bechors were going to be like Levian, whether the Bechors would have the ability to serve in the base to make Mikdash, but not do anything else, I don't know. But this Rechaim Paltiel is a Kiddush to me that the status of a Kohen would then go over to the status of a Bechor, where the Bechor can't marry such woman, a Gioris or anything like that. That to me is a big Kiddush because I haven't seen that anywhere. Maybe it is, maybe it's so obvious out there since you've never seen it before.
I thought the Bechor had every chance.
No, I don't know where you're getting that from.
The Malchus and the what's it called?
What, with Reuven? Reuven did. But that's not the
Bechor.
It's not the Bechor.
I mean,
that's Reuben the Bechor.
Reuben the Bechor had
all three, but that's not Bechors at large. The I'm a Bechor, right? So would I have the status that I couldn't marry this type of person or whatever it is? I don't know where that comes from.
I mean, that's
the reason
why
they got the privileges and they should have all the time.
You should have the lot? Kashi is one privilege of serving. I hear it. And nonetheless, I'd like to see that somewhere. The Chaim Paltiel says it. I'm just, you know, that Parshas Drachim said it's obvious the Torah would answer such a thing later on, and that was that. 2 weeks ago, if anybody remembers what it said about Yishmael, 2 weeks ago, Yada Bakov Yadko, but we were worried about Bakov marrying, you know, being together with the Kedusha of Yishmael, etc. So at the end of the day, who did she marry? At the end of the day, who did she marry? What ended up happening? So the Meshech Chachma says such an unbelievable thing. Remember, Eliezer came over to Rivka, right? And Rivka was given everything, etc. And then Lavan ran out to go greet them, to go see. Says the Meshech Chachma, the reason why Lavan ran, because he thought this is a shidduch for Bakal. He heard that Avraham had a daughter. I'm sorry? He didn't know about the gifts. Only when he saw the gifts did he slow down a little bit. Lavan ran thinking, oh my gosh, this is my prospective father-in-law. Then realizing that it wasn't, that it was all about Rivka, wasn't about him, he slowed down and he said, forget it, all right? And he said, like, all right, we got stuff in our house. You can come. We'll still make some money off you. You know, we're going to still get some money off it. Because then he saw the jewels. He realized, like, nah, it's not for me, but it's for somebody else. But I found the craziest medrash. Now, this is a medrash. This is not shot in any way, shape, or form, okay? This one is the only one that I'm going to admit is a medrash that does not, to me, makes absolutely no sense. The Torah Shlema brings a Yalkut Teimani that says that she married Shem ben Noach and gave birth to Avner ben Ner, the general of David HaMelech's army.
So where did Avner go for the next 1,000 years?
I don't know. First of all, do you remember Avner's mother was the Balas Ov that Shaul HaMelech went to? So Bakal would have been alive, being the Balas Ov by the time of Shaul HaMelech. Okay, so this is a measure that I cannot understand in shot at all. And even the Torah Shlomi, you know, Menachem Kasher, when he writes this down, he says, I found the craziest, like the wording is like a medrash tema she'inkam, like something I cannot believe. Yeah, what are you saying? Yeah, you had Sarah with 800 years, etc. I can't understand Avner ben Ner living that long and being a grandson of Avram Avinu. To me, is a shocker. That's a shocker beyond a shocker. Yeah, right. What?
Old
yeah, old Gosso. Listen, there's no question they could have lived a very, very long time.
If Avner was a grandson of Avram, then nobody would have been able to kill him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, once he did evil. Once he did something bad.
Now wait, and he like...
That's not right, by the way. Yishmael was also a grandson of Avram, you know. So were all his other kids.
Yishmael,
yeah, Midian's
like son.
Midian, etc. So, I mean, there were people. There's no question. Avram still had.
Right,
yeah, I know there's no question, but that doesn't mean that he can't be evil. You know, Esau, if any of you remembers Esau, he was killed by Yehuda.
So, you go up against Yehuda?
I don't want to, I'm just saying it could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or Yehuda or Husham and Dan. That's my close midrashim over there.
Yeah,
regardless, I'm pointing it out. I'm just saying there's a Torah Shlomo that says it. That's an unbelievable medrash that goes out there. And again, if Avner's mother was Bakol, if it was, and the Balas Ov was then Bakol, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard before in my life.
Maybe
that's
an explanation why, because Shaul killed all the
couldn't kill Bakal. I mean, she's like 12,000 years old. As a side note, you mentioned Eliezer as a little thing. What happened to Eliezer? Eliezer was from Canaan and he was cursed. All the cursed ones,
but
he did not do it.
True, I mean, come on, the guy's the Rosh Hashiva.
No, isn't there a picture that says he wanted to Gan Eden alive?
Ah, there is. Yalkut Shimoni at the end of this parsha does say that Eliezer went to Gan Eden alive because of the success of getting the wife for Yitzchak Avinu, or he became Og Melech HaBashan. It's one of the two. You know, he went one way or the other. One of the two, you're going to have that. But regardless, you do have something like that. I will tell you, I remember seeing years ago that Eliezer married Bakol. I don't remember where. I have no idea what ended up happening. I don't remember. I also remember there being somehow related to the giants. I just don't remember how exactly it went through. Yeah, but I think Eliezer was very old. So, you know, especially if he's old, he's like 300 years old already. But you know what? You know, Rashi says a very cryptic line. Rashi says, "Vashem derach Zavram Bakol." He said, Bakol, Ola the Gematria Ben. Bakol is the Gematria of Ben. They're both 52. Okay? The that's even stranger. Did we not know that he had a son? So that's the pshat, and that makes sense, right? So he decided, now I'm going to marry him off. But it's still a strange Rashi. Why is that repeated over here? Okay, so Rashi may be hinting to something very, very great. There's a Be'er Basada. There's a Be'er Basada over here. The Yalkut Ruveni says the following. The Malach told this news that he was going to have a child over to Sarai Menu, and not to Avram. This is what we talked about last week. He said, Ula Sarah Bain. Sarah was going to have a child. Now, says the Yalkut Ruveni, Yitzchak was born Misitra de Nukva. He was born with a neshama that was a feminine type of neshama. Now, it doesn't matter. There could be guys that have feminine neshamas. There could be girls with masculine neshamas. It doesn't matter. They say about the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef was with the Magid Meisharim, with the Malach. The Malach told the Beis Yosef that he had a feminine neshama. That doesn't matter. All it does is it makes you more Midas Adin-like or more Midas Achasev-like. So that doesn't matter necessarily. But he had that Midah called Sitra de Nukva. And that's the reason why he had to be shechted. He had to get rid of that feminine neshama, so to speak. He had to get rid of that at the Akedah and then come with a brand new neshama, a neshama de dukra that would come in its place. And that was his kriyas amesim. That part of his neshama died. A new neshama, something else, took its place at the Akedah, and that's how he made a bracha of mechai amesim, as the Perkei Rebbe Eliezer says. The Be'er Basada says it may have been that Yitzchak was born beforehand, but only now was he in the madrega of ben le'Avraham. Only now did he get that madrega, and that's what the pasuk is referencing over here. He had a daughter that died. There was a daughter that was gone. There was a daughter, a bakal, a daughter that was, but the whole point of the daughter was to lead into the son. And says Rashi, the bakal is the gematria of Ben, and that's Rashi's comment over here.
Some Maury Povich type stuff.
I'm sorry? No, not literally. Don't take this literally. I hate to even joke about this. Okay, this is not literally. It's a different type of idea. When you're dealing with these types of things, right, that's the idea of what it was. We don't understand what that is, but we don't understand how this goes at all. But the female neshama died, the masculine neshama came in, and that's what you're dealing
with.
That's the line from the Be'er Basada. Yeah, I don't quite understand that, but he says that Rivka always had a feminine neshama, no matter how old she was. Whether she's 3, 13, 33, however she was, but he couldn't until that point.
And Yitzchak lost his feminine neshama. It could be that she was born right after she got that neshama. And he got a male neshama.
Listen, I love darshaning these things. I'm going to tell you right now that we can't do stuff like that. But you happen to be saying something that Rav Schwab hints to. Okay, and we'll bring it down right now. The part is Yosef says it's possible that Rashi was being machuya here. He never had a daughter through the Gemara because it says he only had a son. He only had a ben, not a daughter, and that's that. But now we get into the big stuff. But some of the Maral just can say in the beginning of the parsha, it says Vayavo Avram lispod l'sara. Avram came to give a hespit for Sarah, the livkosa, and to cry over her. Now, in that word, the lip kosa, there's a small chaf. So the Maral Diskin and the Chasam Sofer both say the exact same thing. They say, if you take out the chaf, you look at the word, it's ulebita. He came to cry for Sarah and for her daughter. That bakol, that daughter, died right at that moment. That daughter died right at that moment, and he mourned not only Sarai Menu, but he mourned his daughter Bakal as well at that moment. I wrote down in one of my notebooks that the Gra writes this in Bava Basra Tzayin Amabez. I have no idea where this Gra is. I can't find it now, and I have no clue. I looked up my old, newer Gemaras that have whatever. I haven't seen the Gra, but apparently there is a Gra that says something very similar to this right over there. I mean, this is an easy answer as to why he couldn't marry her off to Yitzchak, right? We asked in Tosos. Tosos asked before, why can't you marry her off to Yitzchak? The answer is, she died, so therefore he couldn't marry her off to Yitzchak. That would be the easy answer to be able to get around it. But that's the Chasam Sofer and the Maral Diskin. They both say the exact same shot. I saw it inside and by both. Now,
why is it that he's crying for her daughter? How can he not crying for his daughter?
Well, you're right. I mean, it's because she was born from Sarah. That's what it seems. Ulebita, right? But let's try to see if we can find an answer that really fits that. But Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe, Ora Chaim, Chelek Dalid, Simen Mem, Os Vov, says the following. He says, he has not seen the Maral Diskin inside. He didn't even say that. The Chasam Sofer says it. I found in the Chasam Sofer, but he didn't say that he found in the Chasam Sofer. But he can't believe that anyone would say such a thing without an explicit medrash. How can you make up such a pshat that the Avos, that they had a daughter, that somebody like Avram Avinu had a daughter that died? That's the worst punishment in the world. You can't be manish the Avos that way. You can't just go ahead and throw a punishment on the Avos as if you just do something. Yeah, 100%. And then after that, it says Vashem Berachas Avram Bakol. What a teaser! It's like, she died. And then afterward, the Torah says, Vashem Berachas Avram Bakol. And God, remember that? And he also gave you a daughter back then. Which is such a tease. What do you mean? She died already. When Moshe Feinstein said there's no way that could possibly be, that's the worst punishment in the world. So the Ksav Sofer, the Ksav Sofer's son, writes an answer for this. I think it's an answer. Before Rav Moshe even asked the Shaila. The Ksav Sofer writes, right? Remember, the Ksav Sofer lived in late 1800s, early 1900s. Said the following. He said the only purpose of this daughter was because people were talking about Yitzchak. They were saying, this is not Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu's kid. This is Avimelech and Sarah Imenu's kid. They were quoting that it's Avimelech, and it is true. The Medrash tells us Avimelech brought Sarah into his bedroom exactly 10 months before Sarah Imenu gave birth to Yitzchak. Exactly. So if you would have counted to the day, it would have been from then. We know that Yitzchak was born 7 months. After 7 months. 7 months and 2 days, as opposed to 10. But on the day when she should have conceived, they did the cheshbon back and they realized, oh my gosh. And says Rashi, that in order to stop those claims, Yitzchak looked like Abraham. This is another answer, says the Ksav Sofer. The reason why she had a girl the next year, she gave birth to Yitzchak and then she gave birth to Bakal the next year, was to quiet everyone down. Everyone saying that she ended up having this kid, right? She ended up having this kid with Avimelech. So she had another kid the next year to show everyone, no, I can have a kid.
Wait, she had a kid either way. So she had the first kid from Israel, and the second one from.
But what they were saying is that it is impossible for Sarah Imenu and Abraham to be that for Abraham and Sarah to be together for so many years and not have a kid. So the next year she had a kid from Abraham. To which they said, oh, so I guess it is possible to be from Abraham. And then they were convinced, okay, this first kid could also be from Abraham. Then they understood it. So therefore, Yisrael went around telling people, this kid is not my father's. This kid is Avimelech's. That's the reason why she became pregnant again and she had a girl. The whole purpose of the girl, says the Ksav Sofer, was to prove that Sarah Imenu was a tzaddikus, and when she died, the girl could die with her. The girl was allowed to die with her. Meaning Avram understood that it would be bad for him to have a daughter because he had no one to marry her off to. He understood that his daughter was only there for that purpose. And therefore, she was born and died during his lifetime.
For 36
and that's
years.
That. For the first 36 born. Years. Yeah, until Sarah Imenu died so that people wouldn't say that, oh, she's just a navel, like somebody who's not going to die. You know, to be honest with you, I don't know if she died exactly at that point. I don't know if he's even going with the Ksav Sofer. It happens to be this is a birth of the Ksav Sofer. I'm putting it together with the Ksav Sofer. That may also answer Rashi as well. Remember Rashi said Bakol is the gematria of Ben? Well, now it makes sense. The only reason why Bakol was around is to prove that there was a Ben. There was a son. That's the whole reason why she was there in the first place. Now, I have little problems with this. There's a Shilas V'tshuvas Rashba. Chelet Gimel Simen Shin Mem. We're not he, but the Shoel. You should know, by the way, the people that ask the questions in these Shilas V'tshuvas are also Gedolim. They're also big. The Shoel hints to the fact that Bakal was born from Hagar. Based on that Tosos and Kuf Mem Aleph, where the second answer was that Bakal was from Hagar. It's possible that she was only from Hagar. Tiferes Yonah's son, right? And also that she was born before Yitzchak was born. So that wouldn't be much of a proof. Tiferes Yonah's son says she was a twin to Yitzchak. She was born, it says, Es Yitzchak, she was born together with, and that wouldn't be able to help us over here. The Ksav Sofer says that she was from Hagar. She was 52 years old when she died. And thus the gematria of Bakal when she died. He then goes into the cutest little shot. You know, in the beginning of the parsha it says that Sarah Imenu was 127, and he says when she was 20 she was like she was 7, when she was 100 she was like she was 7, etc. Like every time 100 like 20, 20 like 7, etc. And in the end of the parsha they do that with Avram as well, when he was 5, 100 like 70, like 70 like 5. So he does the same thing with Bakal. At the age of 30 she was like 20 when it came to sins. At the age of 20, she was like 2 when it came to sin, when it came to beauty, that she was a beautiful girl, but a beautiful beauty that didn't have lust to it. And that was the idea behind it. He says the exact same thing, says the Ksav Sofer over there. But what an unbelievable shot. By saying such a thing, now you can a little bit understand that Be'er Basada. What does it mean that Bakal died? Maybe Bakal was the name of the feminine neshama that was within Yitzchak. Maybe that was the daughter. And when Bakal died, that's at the Akedah, that Neshama went up to Shemayim, Yitzchak was really born. That Neshama of Yitzchak came down. It's not that there was really a daughter, and that would really go through it the whole way. There was never really a daughter. There was an aspect of Bakal, of a nishama that was feminine in some way, shape, or form, in order to cause that midas adin of Yitzchak or whatever it is, that was there, that went away, that died when Yitzchak had the Akedah, and then Yitzchak became the person he is. So you can combine all these perushim into one to say, really, that's the idea behind it. We're going to end on a side note over here. There was another daughter, Shira Shirim Rabbah. Shir Shirim Rabbah in Perek Zion Pasuk Beis says that he had a daughter by the name of either Nadiv or Nadav. I can't tell by the wording of the Medrash. Nadiv or Nadav. That was his other daughter's name. So she may not have been his only daughter. It seems that one was Keturah's daughter. That he had daughters later on in life, and this is not beforehand. But altogether, it is strange that we don't know anything about her. We don't know anything about this girl. We don't know if Bakal ever existed in the first place. But I think that's part of what the Torah wanted to tell us. Whatever reason, whether she died or she didn't die, whether she got married to somebody or she didn't get married to someone, whether it was an aspect of Yitzchak or it wasn't, or whether she never existed in the first place, the point is that Avraham Avinu had everything that a person could ever want. And if he wanted a daughter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given him that daughter. Somehow he would have had it, whether we know about it or not. It's not important within the realm of the Torah to tell us that he had that daughter. It's not important for us to know. The same way that Adam Rishon had hundreds of other kids, but we don't know about anybody except for one, well, two really, three. Cain and Hevel are both gone, and Chase is the only one that really goes through. And then we know nothing about Chase except for his son, and then nothing about etc. There's other people that might have been there. There may have been others in the Torah. Do you know any wives Avraham Avinu had? So according to the Pasuk Pshat, he had possibly three. Sarah, Hagar, Keturah. According to Rashi, he had two. Sarah and Hagar slash Keturah. According to the Medrash Rabbah, he had five. Sarah, Hagar, Keturah, and then it says, Bulidneha Pilagshim. Pilag is number one, Pilag is number two. He had five wives. Why don't we know anything about them? Undoubtedly they were great, and undoubtedly Avraham Avinu was bringing them up to a very, very high level, but they weren't important in the grand scheme of things. Grand scheme of things, we don't. But that does tell you another thing. We do mention the 12 princes of Yishmael. We do mention the 6 kids of Avram from Keturah. We do mention all the kids of Esav. It must be they are important. And there is something to learn from them. And that's another subject for another time. But this daughter, okay, we didn't need to know it explicitly. We'll stop with that.